This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Blocked on Capitol Hill. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, September 28th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Democrats have failed to get Republican support to pass a bill that would temporarily fund the government and raise the debt ceiling.
Pink slips have been issued to hospital workers in New York State who refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. We'll have an update.
Singer R. Kelly faces a lengthy prison term after his conviction on charges related to running an enterprise that preyed on underage girls for sex.
And homeowners experiencing seller's remorse after moving out will have the best tips to avoid it.
Of course, the best first step is to really pause before you list at all, not be swept away by this crazy market, and waiting to see how it feels. One option people have before they get to contract is to list their home as a coming soon listing.
Sam Scharf at Money.com on homeowners who wish they never agreed to sell. The jockeying continues on Capitol Hill. Senate Republicans yesterday blocked a Democratic bill that would both temporarily fund the government and raise the country's borrowing limit through next year. The government's current funding expires at the end of the day Thursday. While lawmakers in both parties negotiated the short-term government funding, Republicans voted against the procedural motion in a bid to force Democrats to address the debt limit themselves. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
There's no chance Republicans will help lift Democrats' credit limit so they can immediately steamroll through a socialist binge that will hurt families and help China.
Separately, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has told Democrats that passage of the bipartisan infrastructure bill must not wait for the much larger social safety net bill, saying that $3.5 trillion package is not yet ready for a vote. That's a reversal from her promise to progressives back in June. Some healthcare workers in New York are waking up today without a job after being fired for defying a state order to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Hospitals in New York yesterday began firing or suspending staffers who won't abide by the mandate. That led to staff shortages that, in turn, prompted some hospitals to postpone elective surgeries or curtail services. Governor Kathy Hochul.
This is so unnecessary. And I just want to appeal to the individuals to know that, you know, your coworkers want you to do this.
A spokeswoman for Catholic Health, one of the largest healthcare providers in Western New York, said it had reached full compliance, counting staff members who had been vaccinated, those with exemptions, and some who had been suspended without pay. The spokeswoman, Joanne Cavanaugh, refused to tell Reuters how many workers had been suspended or granted exemptions due to medical or religious reasons. Catholic Health said it was forced to postpone, quote, a small number of elective surgeries. Changing gears now, R&B superstar R. Kelly has been found guilty in New York of multiple counts of leading a racketeering enterprise that prosecutors said spanned decades, using his entourage to recruit women and underage girls for sex. He was convicted yesterday by a federal panel after 9 hours of deliberation. Mr. Kelly, who's 54, still faces criminal charges outside of New York. He will continue to be jailed until he is sentenced next May. Homeland Security investigator Peter Fitzhugh.
Today's verdict brings an end to Robert Kelly's decade-long reign of terror over many vulnerable girls, boys, and young women.
The verdict carries a potential prison term of 10 years to life. Defense attorney Devereaux Kanick.
They cherry-picked a version and ran with that version. They totally ignore the inconsistencies that all of these witnesses gave.
Speaking of those witnesses, the jury heard from more than 50 of them, including Mr. Kelly's former employees and more than 10 accusers. A jury acquitted him on child pornography charges back in 2008, But in 2019, a documentary aired the allegations, leading to criminal charges. Coming up next, the senator the Democrats are trying to figure out. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Senate Democrats trying to pass a sweeping education, healthcare, and climate package must first crack an enigma. What does centrist Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona want? It's a story by Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Eliza, we've heard from West Virginia's Joe Manchin. What about Ms. Sinema?
Both Senators Manchin and Sinema have kind of staked out these centrist positions. They have both said that they are not willing to spend $3.5 trillion on this massive, basically social safety net expansion that Democrats are pushing forward. But Manchin has been more vocal about what he's willing. He's floated different numbers, more in the $1 trillion range. He has said he has concerns about some of the climate provisions. So Democrats, while they're frustrated with Manchin, at least sort of know more where he's coming from. They also understand Manchin a little bit better because he's coming from a state that President Trump won by 39 points in 2020. So Manchin is a very unique position because he is one of the only Democrats in very red West Virginia. Meanwhile, Senator Sinema has said she has concerns, but she's not telling at least rank and file Democrats what those are or what she's looking for. Her team says she's talking to President Biden, she's talking to Majority Leader Schumer. People do know her concerns, she's just not broadcasting them publicly because she doesn't want to basically negotiate in the press. But her constituents and some fellow Democrats say they're confused about why she's staking out a position like Manchin, because she comes from a much more competitive state. Now, there's two Democratic senators in Arizona. President Biden won, although all of these wins have been narrow.
Yeah.
But they say it's a different state than Joe Manchin's.
Okay, so I thought it was interesting because you said Senator Sinema rarely speaks publicly. Why is that? She's a public representative, is she not?
She is a public representative. You know, she has basically just made it her, you know, her plan, I guess. She doesn't talk to the press very much. She avoids us at the Capitol. She does not negotiate things in the press. She does not rehash meetings. She is different than a lot of lawmakers who are more than willing to come out of meetings and say exactly what happened. That's just not Sinema's style. And it doesn't look like it's changing. It's not been her style for a long time. And so when I went to her team saying, you know, these people are saying these things about her, doesn't she want to go out and basically be transparent about what she's asking, her team said, nope, the negotiations are ongoing. She is not going to weigh in, publicly at least.
We're speaking with Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Kyrsten Sinema is Enigma at Center of Democrats Spending Talks. So do we know, has she completely said she does not want that $3.5 trillion in spending at all, or she's willing to accept something smaller? Do we even know that much?
So we don't know, but the indications are that she's likely willing to accept something smaller. She said she will oppose a $3.5 trillion cost. Now, the word cost is interesting because Democrats say that this package is not going to cost anything because they will have offsets. They'll raise taxes, they'll use other revenue boosters in order to basically offset the $3.5 trillion. The basically consensus is on the Hill, though, is that it's going to have to come down from $3.5 trillion because other centrists are concerned. But she did tell the Arizona Republic, her local paper, she was excited about the climate provisions. She has supported various paid family leave and kind of family-focused policies in the past. So she does like some portions of this bill. So I think the thought is she'll support something. People just don't know exactly how much.
I guess the climate provisions that she favors, coming from a desert state, might be in direct conflict with what Joe Manchin wants in West Virginia, given that his state produces coal and natural gas.
Absolutely. And they're not the only two with these sort of conflicting things.
All right. Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal. By the way, maybe deeper insight into what Senator Sinema wants. She's reportedly holding a fundraiser this week with business groups opposed to the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package being crafted by her party. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Congress is running out of time to prevent a shutdown and a default. Senate Republicans yesterday blocked a bill that would fund the government and suspend the debt ceiling, leaving Democrats scrambling to avoid a possible economic calamity. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Bipartisanship is not a light switch. A light switch that Democrats get to flip on when they need to borrow money, and switch off when they want to spend money.
Lawmakers need to approve government funding before Friday to avoid a shutdown. The U.S. risks default if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling by a point that's likely to come in October.
Number two.
R&B singer R. Kelly has been found guilty on all counts in a high-profile sex trafficking case by a federal jury in Brooklyn. The verdict represents the first criminal consequence for Kelly after decades of accusations of sexual assault. Peter Fitzhugh is with the Homeland Security Investigations.
Today's decision demonstrates that our system of justice knows no boundaries and will hold criminals accountable, regardless of their fame or fortune.
Best known for the 1996 hit song, I Believe I Can Fly, Kelly pleaded not guilty to all charges in the case and did not take the stand in his own defense. He now faces the possibility of decades in prison.
Number three.
A federal appeals panel has determined that New York City, the nation's largest school district, can immediately impose a vaccine mandate on its teachers and other workers after all. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We're very, very confident that the city, the Department of Education, is going to prevail because we're trying to protect kids. We're trying to protect families. We're trying to protect working people in our schools.
The city's Department of Education says the mandate will now go into effect at the end of the week. For now, Bridgerton Season 1 is the most watched program ever on Netflix, but the streaming service says that's likely to soon change. Netflix says Squid Game, a Korean language survival story launched earlier this month, is on target to be its most successful series ever. The show is already attracting a far larger audience than the French language crime drama Lupin, which was the first non-English language show to become the top program on the site.
Yeah, just wait till Ozark comes back.
It's coming.
We'll see who's setting records. Thanks, Jen. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Buyer's remorse is fairly common and sometimes leads to the end of real estate deals. Seller's remorse tends to be more rare, but it does happen. If you're a seller and you find yourself regretting a contract, there are a few steps you can try, but you should know what you're up against. Insight from Samantha Scharf, real estate reporter at money.com. Sam, set the scene.
I think in a typical housing market, it's life happens. Your job situation changes, your family situation changes, your income situation changes. But what makes this moment unique is that the housing market is moving so fast and prices are rising so fast. So we're hearing from homeowners who looked around and saw prices up 17-18%. Those are the national growth figures. And seeing their neighbors sell for sums they never thought possible and saying, hey, I want in on that. And then turning around and homes are selling faster than ever. The average days on market last month was 39 days. And people are getting offers in a day or two in some areas. And it just happens really quickly. And people are being swept away by that. And then looking around and being like, wait, I like my house. Where do I go next? And that's causing some of this problem.
Can you get penalized if you back out at the last minute or too close to the last minute?
So contracts, as our story explains, are really, in most states, written to benefit the buyer. And that makes some sense. They are the ones making this big investment, and they want to, they have more opportunities to get out if something doesn't go right. With penalties, they may lose their earnest or deposit money. For sellers, there are fewer options. In some states, there's a cooling off period, a day or two, where you could say, wait, I don't want to do this. But often, you don't have a clear way out as the seller. Sometimes a buyer may take sympathy and say, you know what, that's okay, or maybe they felt similarly that the deal wasn't quite right. But there are cases, although rare, that this becomes a legal dispute.
We're speaking with Samantha Scharf, real estate editor at money.com. They've got a piece about seller's remorse when it comes to the housing market. All right, so what do you try if you feel this coming on as you're in the middle of a deal?
Of course, the best first step is to really pause before you list at all, not be swept away by this crazy market, and waiting to see how it feels. One option people have before they get to contract is to list their home as a coming soon listing, which you can see how it looks up on the page, see what interest you get, see how that feels. Although I would warn that people want to be careful in this area. There are different rules in different states for how long you can do that. And there is the potential that if you let it go on too long and it would become what is called a pocket listing, there is the potential for discrimination. So some states are really looking at that issue closely. That's a bit of an aside, but we, of course, you don't want to discriminate and run afoul of fair housing.
All right, thanks, Sam. Samantha Scharf, real estate editor at money.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Football season, as you know, has returned. It's great when your favorite sport comes back, but the sport of business doesn't have an off season. All year long, you demand excellence from your craft and your wardrobe. When you've got the timeless style and comfort that makes you look as good as you feel, you do your best work. For that, there's Cuts Clothing. Cuts started by reinventing the t-shirt. Their signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend Tee has been described as the only shirt worth wearing by GQ. As soon as I tried it on, they won me over. These shirts are comfortable, but they're fashionably flexible. I've worn them with everything from shorts and sandals to undersuit jackets. Cuts has developed fabrics uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Hoodies, polos, crew sweatshirts, and more. That are cutting-edge comfort you have to wear to believe. To do your best, you need to feel your best. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. 15% off the only shirt worth wearing at cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you could be with us, and welcome into Tuesday, September 28. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Republicans block a Democrat's effort to fund the government and suspend the debt ceiling. Hospitals in New York State begin firing workers who won't get the COVID vaccine. Wall Street Journal says Washington approached Moscow about using Russian bases to monitor terror threats in Afghanistan. R. Kelly convicted in his sex abuse case. Ford building four new U.S. factories for electric vehicles. Cowboys over the Eagles in Monday Night Football. And the new coffee setup in the House of Representatives. That story in about 20 minutes. President Biden has received a booster shot of the COVID-19 vaccine and appealed to unvaccinated Americans to protect themselves against the virus. He got the jab yesterday, days after the FDA cleared a booster developed by Pfizer for people 65 and older and certain other adults at high risk of severe illness. Meanwhile, confusion over boosters, which has been brewing for months, has heightened over the past week or so as government regulators and advisors met to hash out the pros and cons of administering third doses. What are we as consumers supposed to do? Insight from Francis Steed Sellers, reporter at The Washington Post. Francis, a lot of these moving parts these days.
Well, we've been hearing from a lot of doctors who said that they were deluged with telephone calls on Thursday evening when they thought that high-risk people in high-risk jobs would not be able to get boosters. And that changed, of course, sort of around midnight Thursday, and they had different recommendations Friday. If you take that to clinics, you can imagine clinics working on their websites Thursday, thinking one thing was coming, changing it on Friday. But also the people who are eligible to get boosters, many of them are going to be over 65. A lot of them don't use websites. So doctors were describing to us telephone calls, all sorts of people sort of reaching in to figure out when they could get their booster vaccines. I will say there are groups of people for whom this is quite straightforward. These recommendations are for the Pfizer vaccine. If you're over 65 and you had Pfizer, I think right now there's plenty of vaccine out there and you can probably walk into your local pharmacy and pick up a Pfizer. So there are certain groups of people for whom this is going to be, okay, I wanted my booster, I can now go and get it. And there probably isn't any difficulty doing that. But that's not everybody by any means. And an awful lot of people have questions. They had J&J to start with. They had Moderna to start with. Will they be able to get boosters? Can they mix and match? There are all these questions, and they all want their doctors to be able to answer them. And doctors are having to work and learn in real time what they should recommend.
Yeah, even something basic, right? I think it was one doctor who said, we even weren't sure initially who is high risk.
Well, yes, exactly. And that's a question. Again, the truth is that this is largely going to be done in pharmacies, and the process is what's called self-attestation. In other words, people will go in and be able to say, well, you know, I'm in a high-risk job, and they'll probably be able to get a booster. I don't think there's going to be a lot of documentation of whether they are, in fact, eligible. So the truth is that there will probably be people who want vaccines who may not fit in exactly the group that the CDC was thinking about, but will be able to get one.
We're speaking with Francis Steed Sellers, reporter at The Washington Post. Her story is called Changing Recommendations for Boosters Lead to Confusion for the Vaccinated and Their Doctors. Was it a hospital care network you referenced that had taken something like 80,000 phone calls in its 21 locations?
That's what they were telling us. And this is in Idaho. That in itself is interesting because Idaho has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country. So to see that this, it's a very big network of clinics, but that this clinic was fielding calls from people who, you know, if you had your first two, maybe those people are even more desperate to get their boosters because there's so much virus being transmitted in that community that they're even more desperate to get their boosters than people elsewhere. But yes, I think those were extraordinary stories of clinics just having to, as I said, field calls, a lot of them from older people wondering when they should come in, how they should come in, how long they have to wait. When Biden first talked about giving out boosters, he suggested it would be everybody at 8 months, and now we're getting Pfizer only, but at 6 months. In coming weeks, we should learn about J&J and Moderna. But this is a tricky process for doctors at the moment, figuring out how to advise their patients. Mm.
Does that confusion or uncertainty or changing information make people less likely to get vaccinated initially or get that booster?
Well, this is a question that came up during one of the meetings on Thursday. I don't think we have data on that. Again, this gets into this field of public opinion polling, behavioral change research. And the experts we're listening to, and even at the White House, if you think about it, even though Dr. Fauci is a very good communicator, he's not an expert in crisis communications. And the people we're listening to at CDC and the advisory panels are excellent pediatricians, infectious disease researchers, even obstetricians, I think, on that group. But they're not people who are trained in understanding how to move the needle in terms of, or what does move the needle in terms of people's understanding.
Thanks, Francis. Francis Steed Sellers, reporter at The Washington Post. Coming up next, a bizarre finish to a marathon when the lead runners go the wrong way.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending some time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know there will be plenty of intrigue for football fans when Tom Brady leads the Buccaneers to his old stomping grounds in New England for the first time this Sunday night. And the drama even went up a notch or two when Tom Brady Sr. recently decided to share some choice words for the Patriots about how they handled his future Hall of Fame son's exit from the team. So how did Brady Jr. handle that? Well, in typical Tom Brady fashion, he chose to defuse the situation with humor, reading a statement about his dad on his Let's Go podcast this week. The statement read, "Comments made by Thomas Edward Brady, a 77-year-old insurance company CEO who should know better at this point in his life, don't necessarily reflect the views or positions held by his son, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. So furthermore, should Tom Sr. continue to speak out on behalf of his son without the express written consent, Junior reserves the right to eventually put him in a home against his will." He then went on to heap praise on his father, saying that he does have the greatest dad in the world.
That's funny. He's good, man. He is very good.
Yes, he does know how to handle these sticky situations when they do arise.
Yes, he does.
Usually with some kind of humor.
Yeah.
So, you know, good on him for that.
Okay, so the next thing we're watching is the end of the game Sunday night.
Right. What?
At the meeting at midfield.
Oh, I see. Between Belichick
between
and Brady.
Belichick and Brady.
I got you.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it a handshake? Is it a bro hug?
Yeah.
Is it a lengthy two-arm embrace? What happens?
It depends on the outcome of the game, most definitely.
Yeah.
If the Patriots win the game, I think there'll be more of a little more interaction. I think if the Patriots do not win the game, it's going to be maybe a handshake or maybe a quick fist bump.
Ooh,
maybe
fist bump.
I don't know.
Those two would be reduced to fist bump after the time together.
Again, if they lose, you know Coach Belichick, and he's not going to be in any mood for any bro hugs if the team loses.
All right, I'm going to predict the Patriots win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a handshake, like at a distance with an arm slap.
Okay,
like a side arm slap.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's about the best you're going to get.
You think that's the best? Not a hug.
I think if the Patriots lose, you know, forget it. I mean, there's going to be almost nothing. Again,
wow.
that's what I'm thinking right now. Just knowing the history of Bill Belichick as we do.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
And when you run a 26-mile race,
can you place bets on that?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
There'd be some sort of betting available.
I'm absolutely sure that you can. And when you run a 26-mile race, Gordon, you don't care how you win. You just care that you cross the finish line first. That's what an Illinois man is likely thinking after he unexpectedly won the Quad Cities Marathon this weekend when the two runners ahead of him were disqualified after running the wrong way. Now, in their defense, the two Kenyan runners were merely following a race volunteer on a bicycle who mistakenly went straight when they should have turned. A man named Tyler Pence was the beneficiary, crossing the finish line and becoming the first American to win the race since 2001. The race's director acknowledged the mistake of the volunteer on the bike, but also pointed out that the course was clearly marked and that the elite runners have a meeting the day before in order to get familiar with the course. Now, this almost happened on a lower level this past weekend because I ran a 5K.
I was going to say.
This past weekend. And they were, before the race, this was a new course that nobody had run before. They were kind of giving us the lowdown.
Okay.
You know, you come out of the woods, you turn here, you go there. And we all looked at each other and said, look, as long as the person in front knows where they're going, then we'll be fine.
Right.
Just follow that guy. And in this case, the person in front didn't know where they were going, and that's what caused the problem.
Well, listen, you should check the records. Maybe you won that.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe you won that.
Yeah, yeah, probably. There might be some disqualifications involved here.
Thanks, Mike. For a while, letting your facial hair go was the in thing to do, but what seemed like a good idea indoors isn't panning out in the heat, is it? Time to get back to shaving again. If one of the reasons you didn't miss shaving is the ridiculous price of blades, then you need to know about Harry's. And if you have known about Harry's and haven't tried them yet, now's the time. When I got my first Harry's starter set, I felt the difference right away. The 5-blade razor, along with the weighted handle, made getting an amazingly close shave effortless. The foaming shave gel with aloe is excellent too. The starter set comes with all that, plus a travel case, and right now, at a great deal. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com right now to get this special offer. That's Harrys.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit is another reason banking with Capital One is one of the easiest decisions ever. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. It's no secret that the pandemic has hit all of us right in the bank account, but the sad truth is that tens of millions of American households were already struggling long before the coronavirus came to call. The Motley Fool says lately it's become increasingly clear that the problem is systemic, especially in cities. In fact, a recent study found that 63% of U.S. workers living in metro areas are struggling to break out of the paycheck-to-paycheck financial cycle. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Republican senators have blocked a bill to keep the government operating and allow federal borrowing, but Democrats aiming to avert a shutdown pledged to try again at the same time, pressing ahead on President Biden's big plans to reshape government.
I'm a born optimist. I think things are going to go well. I think we're going to get it done. I have meetings tonight, tomorrow, and for the next little bit.
Monday's 50-48 vote against taking up the bill fell well short of the 60 needed to proceed over a GOP filibuster. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer switched his vote to no, a procedural step to allow him to bring the measure back up for consideration, which he said would happen this week.
Number two.
In their first public testimony since the U.S. completed its withdrawal from Afghanistan, top Pentagon leaders will face sharp questions in Congress today about the chaotic pullout and the Taliban's rapid takeover of the country. Lawmakers are demanding more details on the suicide bombing in Kabul that killed 13 U.S. service members in the final days of the withdrawal.
Number three.
The FBI reported a nearly 30% increase in murders in 2020, the largest single-year jump since the Bureau began recording crime statistics 6 decades ago. The surge in killings drove an overall 5% increase in violent crime last year. Although the reported annual increase was dramatic, the total number of homicides last year, 21,570, did not surpass some stunning totals in the early 90s, including the nearly 25,000 murders recorded in 1991. A federal judge has approved the unconditional release of John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot and wounded President Ronald Reagan in 1981. Hinckley's attorney told NPR that Hinckley has an excellent prognosis and there is no evidence of danger whatsoever. The 66-year-old is set to be granted his unconditional release next June. A jury found Hinckley not guilty by reason of insanity in 1982. Ford and South Korea-based energy company SK Innovations are investing $11.4 billion to build two new enormous manufacturing campuses for electric vehicles, creating more than 10,000 new jobs and representing Ford's largest ever single manufacturing investment in the company's 118-year history. Ford says it expects 40% of its worldwide sales to be fully electric vehicles by 2030. One site will be in Kentucky, the other in Tennessee.
Thank you, Jen. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877 Ask Dell. That's 877 Ask Dell. Glad you're with us. A new coffee cart in the corner of the Cannon House office building basement. Doesn't look like much, but it's providing congressional staffers a jolt of brightness in what has sometimes been a bleak year. CQ Roll Call says staffers were so eager to try the Rayco outpost that the espresso machine ran out of beans before closing on the day of its debut last week. Rayco's hipster coffee, as some have called it, has touched a nerve among weary Hill staffers. For one thing, workers have long complained that the sprawling Capitol complex needs better food options even after some sought-after chains arrived 2 years ago. As one staffer put it, in the squalid wasteland of decent coffee that is the House side, Rayco is an oasis. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.